We're in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we've come to chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, and today we'll pick up in verse 5. Paul has been talking about the conversion of these people in the city of Thessalonica, and what a conversion story that was. Paul said that these people had turned from idols to serve the true and the living God. What a great example of conversion to New Testament Christianity these people were. But as Paul describes their conversion, he also talks about the kind of life that he and Silas and Timothy lived while they were teaching these people. In other words, this is a great section in the Bible and a great example of preachers practicing what they preach. Paul and Silas and Timothy did not try to hide, and they were not ashamed of the way that they lived. They lived a godly life among these people, and so they taught them not only in word, but also by their lives. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul said that the people there knew how he had been treated. He said, "You know that we were treated shamefully in the city of Philippi. You know about our persecutions there." So Paul, by his life and by his example of suffering affliction and persecution in Philippi, is already a good example when he comes to the city of Thessalonica, because these people heard about what happened to him there. Not only that, Paul says that when he taught these people at the city of Thessalonica in chapter 2, verse 3, he said that his preaching was not out of deceit, that is, it was not out of error, it was not out of uncleanness or immorality, and it was not out of guile, that is, out of deceit. Paul was not trying to deceive anyone. He was not trying to use anyone. He was not trying to convert anyone to something that was made up or wrong. Paul said in verse 4 that his preaching was not along the line of trying to please men. Paul said, "We preached, we lived, and we taught you in a way that pleased God and not in a way that pleased men." That's verse 4. Now, Paul continues then, as we pick up today in verse 5, describing his teaching and describing his life by saying, "For neither at any time used we flattering words." Now, notice that he uses the word "we" here and not just "I," because he's including Silas and Timothy in this. Paul said, "We did not use flattering words." It's interesting that Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, that some false teachers use great swelling words of vanity. That's flattering speech. In Romans 16, verse 18, Paul said that false teachers, by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. And that kind of talking, that kind of preaching will draw a crowd for a while. It always has, and it always will. Now, Paul's comment here about the fact that he did not use flattering words, he didn't try to flatter people and motivate them through that flattery. That comment in verse 5 goes hand in hand with what he just said in verse 4. About pleasing men. And in contrast, false teachers flatter people, and they tell people what they want to hear. They tell them that whatever they do and whatever they believe and say is right. They tell them how great they are, regardless of how they're living. Now, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, that the duty of preachers is to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Paul did not flatter people in talking to them in private and in preaching to them in public. Paul also said in verse 5 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 that they did not have a cloak of covetousness. And he said God is witness to this. Now, the word cloak refers to a Jewish piece of clothing that was used for a covering. And the word in the Greek here simply means a pretext. It means an alleged reason. It means a pretended cause. And sometimes in the New Testament, this same word, which is translated cloak here, is actually, and perhaps better translated, a pretense. What Paul is saying is this. He did not pretend to care about these people when all the while all he wanted was just their money. That's what he's referring to here when he talks about a cloak or a pretense of covetousness that refers to the love of money. Now, false teachers then, like today, and always have been, they were notorious for the love of money and preaching and teaching to people just to get their money. Paul said, we never did that. And in the next verse, Paul is going to show how he proved that he was not there for their money, because he's going to explain to us now how that not only was he not after their money, but he actually worked to support himself. Let's notice in verse 6. Paul said, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Paul said, we were not looking for glory from anybody, neither from you or from other people. Wherever they went, whomever they served, people knew that they were not in it to receive praise. Now again, this was quite different from many others in the first century. The Pharisees, for instance, craved the praise of men. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23 that all their works they do for to be seen of men. And in John chapter 12, verse 43, the Bible talks about those chief rulers who love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Paul said, we didn't do that. We were not looking for glory. Now, Paul is talking about a glory of men that leads some preachers to take advantage of people and, in the end, become a burden to people. How could that happen? What does Paul mean by being a burden to people here? We'll get to that in just a few verses, because Paul is going to explain what he means about a burden here. But for now, notice that he said we didn't do that as the apostles of Christ. The word apostles here is the use of the word apostle in a general sense. It simply means messengers here. In the Bible, the word apostle comes from a word which can mean simply one who is sent, a messenger, or it can refer to the special office of apostles. And here, since he's talking about not just himself, but also Silas and Timothy, he must be using this word in the general sense of messengers. Now, let's go to verse 7. What he says here in verse 7 is that rather than being a burden to you, we were gentle with you. Let's read verse 7. He said, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. Compare again Paul's attitude and Silas' attitude and Timothy's attitude and their lifestyle with other religious leaders in their times, with other preachers in their day. Because some of those religious leaders were arrogant, they were demanding, they were controlling. They made life hard on the people. They told them every move to make. They demanded to be paid a big sum of money. They treated people like they were their servants. Preachers and elders don't have a right to act like this. Paul said that he did not do this. He was gentle with these people, not overbearing, not domineering, just like a nurse. The word nurse here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, does not refer to a medical nurse. It does not refer to a nurse that works in a hospital. The word nurse here simply refers to one who feeds, a nursing mother, that is. The word itself could have been used in the first century to refer even to a wet nurse. Here, since the Bible is talking about a nurse cherishing her children, then it's probably, as the New King James reflects in its translation, a nursing mother. The idea of a nurse cherishing her children is not simply loving her children, it's the idea of her feeding her children. So Paul said, that was our attitude among you. That's the way that we treated you. We did not run over you. We were gentle and caring with you. Then in verse 8, Paul describes in even more detail the feelings that he had toward these people. He says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Notice that Paul says that he was affectionately desirous or longing for you. Paul and Silas and Timothy were very sincere. They were not in Thessalonica to make a name for themselves. They were not in that city to get money out of these people. And they were not there to treat these people like slaves. In fact, Paul said, we were not simply willing to give you the gospel, but we were willing to give you our own souls. That is, our own lives, our very being. And they showed it. They proved it. By the way they worked and the way they sacrificed for these people and by the way that they lived in their presence. Now, people see this. They see this in preachers just like they do in Christians that make the claim to be children of God. And so people know if a preacher cares. They know if he's really concerned about them or not. Then in verse 9, Paul shows that we supported ourselves by working. He says in verse 9, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Paul said, you remember our toil and our labor. We would say today, you remember seeing our sweat and our toil. Paul and Silas and Timothy worked with their own hands for a living. And several times in the Bible, you'll find Paul talking about this and doing this very thing. In Acts 18, verse 3, we find Paul in the city of Corinth supporting himself by making tents. He was, by occupation, a tent maker, and he did that in the city of Corinth. In the city of Ephesus, Paul did the same thing. In Acts 20, verses 34 and 35, Paul said that he worked to support himself and to support others. And he said, by doing that, I have shown you how that you ought to work and to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the same thing was true in Thessalonica. This is what Paul was talking about in verse 6 when he said that they didn't want to be a burden to these people in Thessalonica. What kind of burden? Well, they didn't want them to have the financial burden of supporting them, that is, Paul and Silas and Timothy. That's why he says in verse 9 that they were not chargeable to these people. Now, when you look at Paul's actions here in these cities, we have to ask the question, would it have been wrong if Paul and Silas and Timothy had been paid? No, because Paul said that it is right for a preacher to be paid by a church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he goes into that in great detail. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote back to this very church at Thessalonica about this very thing. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, Paul plainly said that they had the right to be paid, but they didn't use it. Why? Because they wanted to be examples of working to these people at Thessalonica, and that showed how sincere they were. They had the right to be paid by these people there, but they made their own living so that they could teach them a great lesson. Paul and Silas and Timothy preached in word and also in deed. They taught by what they said and by how they lived. They practiced what they preached.